Welcome to a brand new edition of the University of the Incarnate Word Athletics Podcast. This is your host, Shane Melling. We will have a couple coaches on today, as well as men's basketball player Mitchell Badillo. So looks to be a good podcast this week. We have a softball coach, Mandy Gamboa, coming on, as well as football coach Kyle Cannon, who will talk more about how the recruiting season went and the upcoming spring season for the football team. Just a reminder, this is a busy week in Cardinals athletics. Softball opens up their season schedule on Wednesday with a doubleheader at 3 o'clock against Texas A&M Kingsville at home. On Thursday night, the basketball teams play host to Abilene Christian. Those games will be on ESPN3. The women tip off at 6, followed by the men at 8. It's senior night for the men. The women will have one more home game following Thursday night. On Friday, the softball team hits the road. They head out to Fort Worth, and they will play 5 games at the Cowtown Tournament in Fort Worth against a variety of NAIA schools. Baseball begins their season up in Arlington, where they will play Oklahoma State on Friday. On Saturday, no basketball this weekend, but men's and women's tennis are at home, 10 o'clock against Midwestern State. Synchronized Swimming has their lone home event of the year. They begin at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Track and field is off again up to Texas Tech in Lubbock. And baseball, they'll be taking on UT Arlington on the road as well. And then we will continue on to Sunday as we continue to have action. Men's tennis is at home and women's tennis. They're both at home against UT Pan American. The women begin at 10 a.m., followed by the men at 2. Baseball finishes out their weekend with a game against Stephen F. Austin, also up in Arlington. So without any further ado, let's get into our interviews. And first up, we'll have Kyle Cannon. All right, joining us now is assistant football coach Kyle Cannon. And Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it.
I can't remember if we've had you on before or not. But
I've been on once before, yeah. Okay. Guess I didn't make a great impression.
But we're going to talk about recruiting today. National Signing Day was last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, just looking at it, it seemed like we really did well. You know, as a young program, it seems like every year we bring in better talent. I guess just talk about this year. We completed our first year of Division I. How many more doors were open, I guess, to you guys since, you know, we went 6-5, had our first winning record, and we kind of showed what we can do on the field. Does that help out recruiting-wise?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously it does. It, you know, winning some games helps, and going 6-5 was a good year for us. It builds a good, strong foundation for where we want to get to. In terms of recruiting, you know, Coach Kennan talks a lot about perception, and that's, you know, the perception of this program has changed a lot in the last couple of years. Going Division I obviously opens up some doors. People perceive us differently. And then, you know, going through a season where you win 6 games, that helps. So, yeah, you know, we were a lot more selective and able to be a lot more selective this year and went out with some certain goals and what we wanted to do in certain positions, and we really feel like we achieved that. You know, now we're really know 2 years from now how good this class is, but we feel like we hit all the things we wanted to hit on this year.
Well, I mean, just looking at it, we had a couple guys that have been that are 3-star recruits, a number of 2-star recruits, and I'm a University of Illinois fan, and they were ranked 13th in the Big Ten in recruiting, and they had no 3-star recruits. So I think that kind of shows the type of players you guys are starting to bring in, is that you can get some of that top-level talent. You know, is it difficult going against, you know, the big schools where you have, like, a Texas A&M in the state? How do you convince kids that, you know, we play a high brand of football here at Incarnate Word?
Yeah, you know, typically if you know, University of Texas or A&M or Baylor or those schools or TCU, you know, the real you know, Texas Tech have offered a guy, they're going to go there just because, again, that's a perception thing.
Right.
They see them on television and all that stuff. So, you know, we're not going to beat those guys, you know, 9 times out of 10. But the schools we end up seeing ourselves recruiting a lot against are the smaller Division I's out of state. You know, for example, New Mexico State, right. the Naval Academies, Utah State, Louisiana Monroe, Louisiana Lafayette, those kind of schools where we feel like, you know, we have a very viable option here right in the state of Texas. And the biggest trick for us has been to get guys to come visit, because even though the perception about us has changed some, they don't know what to expect until they get here. Right. And always people are really blown away by this campus, the administration, the staff, once they get here and see the facilities and all those things. So people are always, it's always a pleasant surprise once they get here, and this place kind of sells itself. So, yeah, we're going after a little, you know, a lot more recruiting battles this year than we've had in the past, because we're recruiting those types of guys. And I think that's the goal every year. You don't want to recruit a guy based off who else is recruiting him.
Right.
I think we do a great job of evaluating guys on film, find out who they are, do they fit our program, do they fit what we're looking for, and can they play football. And then we don't really care if nobody's offered them or if 10 people have offered them. If that's our guy, we're going to go recruit the heck out of them and hope to get them. So.
I think Coach said something on signing day where you guys had your one big weekend where you brought in 25 guys and 22 of them committed right there. So you basically had to shut down your closing couple weekends that you were probably planning on ahead of time. How nice was that when you get those commitments? And then it seemed like you probably had about 90 to 95% of them held true on signing day.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting, though, because when that happens, that first weekend, then it's almost anticlimactic,
right?
You know, because a lot of times that last weekend right before signing day, you're bringing some guys and just hoping like heck to get them, and so from that you ride that emotional roller coaster during recruiting, and we had kind of peaked, you know, 2 weeks before signing day. So, right. And you know, we were still on a couple guys that we knew were getting recruited by some bigger name schools and stuff, right. and got one of them, but it's that it's you got to get back to okay, you know it. We said this, if you had told us, you know, like the day before signing day, if you had told us 2 months ago this was going to be our class,
right,
we would have said no way. I mean, that's how it was. But getting them all in, on jumping on board 2 weeks prior to signing day was kind of a, for us, we had to kind of check ourselves a little bit and say, hey, this is a great deal.
Yeah.
Listen, just because we didn't get a commitment the day of or day prior to signing day, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of jump up and down for joy, and anyway, so it was a little bit anticlimactic for us. We had to keep that in mind. So
it's a good thing, though.
A great thing. Yeah, it's a great thing. And really and truly, yeah. I mean, it was from just a fatigue standpoint. You know, signing day comes around, and it's like you're almost just ready for it to be over with sometimes, and because you ride the waves, and you get a commitment, and then someone else comes in and offers them, and. And it's an emotional roller coaster, right. Because invested in these.
You're trying to figure out what 17-year-old guys are going to decide on.
Exactly. And you try not to take it personally because you can't, you know. And that's just like, you know, if we were to make an offer to somebody and then they haven't committed yet, but we've got to fill that spot. We've got to call them and say, hey, look, here's the deal. We're making an offer to another person at your position. So it's first come, first serve. And so it's a two-way street, you know.
Yeah, I was hearing... just listening to overall recruiting talk, and guys are talking about how these kids that wait until the final seconds to like make their decision, they're actually hurting other kids.
Yes.
Who the schools that the big name recruits don't go to, they're holding spots for them. Well, if they don't get them, then the other kids are getting pushed down the ladder.
Yeah. I guess with all the way things are nowadays, and signing day, such as it's like a national holiday now, and it's broadcast live on ESPN and everything, and it's a great thing for the kids, you know, it really is. It makes them feel special on those days when they put those four hats in front of them or whatever it is. But at some point, you know, it's not all about you either, you know, and you got, I think it's gotten a little bit blown out of proportion with all the hoopla around it. And
we are in Texas.
Yes, we're in Texas. Exactly.
How much this year did it help, you know, having Ricky Williams out on the recruiting trail? I know I heard you guys tell a few stories of how the parents were sometimes more excited about meeting him than the kids. What was it like?
I mean, you know, it's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was in a high school. I took Ricky and I went into a high school up in Austin, you know, where he's obviously mm-hmm. huge up there. And a couple of administrators were like just freaking out when they saw him. They didn't know how to act. And he's got that kind of effect. You know, Ricky's like a cult icon. He's not just a great football player. He's more than just a football player. He's got the documentary about him, and he's unbelievable in schools and homes. He gets it, and he's such a genuine guy that, you know, when he's talking to students or their parents or coaches, you know, he's one of those guys when he talks, you listen, and you can tell he's really telling the truth, and so there's no doubt that he had a huge effect on us getting a couple guys, particularly a running back, you know.
Talk a little about those running backs. I know we got Xavier Turner.
Xavier Turner was from Birdville, and he was, you know, a three-star running back and all these things, and rightly so. I we watched him on film, and it was kind of like, whoa, you know. We weren't sure we were even going to sign a running back in this class.
Right.
He was just that guy that we thought, this guy's, if we can get him, he's too good to pass up, and he's a special talent. He's big, he's strong, he's fast. He's got instinctive running ability. Once we met him, you know, I don't know him well enough yet to say this, but his personality reminded me a little bit of Ricky. He's kind of humble and quiet, mm-hmm. plays like a wild man, but he's just kind of got this peaceful look in his eyes like Ricky does, and you know, we expect big things out of him. Obviously, he's gotten a lot of notoriety, and right. you know, people were, you know, on Twitter and stuff. It was a big deal that he committed to us, and so. You know, but we don't want to have too high expectations for Xavier, too. He's still going to be a freshman, and we've got a couple guys.
Well, you have three freshman running backs this year.
And we like all those guys. Well, yeah, you know, Broderick Reeves and Junior Sessions and John Oglesby, mm-hmm. All three talented guys. So, you know, the other guy that's a little bit overlooked just because of Xavier's stats was Dorlan Fields. Mm-hmm. And same deal, you know.
He had pretty good stats, too.
He had great stats. You know, in comparison, it wasn't quite as impressive, but he had, you know, scored over 35 touchdowns and ran for 2,000 yards and was a quarterback as a junior, and he's just, you know, Dorland's a running back, but he's capable of playing corner or safety or, you know, and help us in the return game, and he's just a football playing dude, you know.
So he's a guy we could see all over the field.
He's a track guy. He can really run. He's 190 pounds. You know, he's from Sweeney, where we've got Joel Higgins and yeah. Greg Lemon from, and love those guys. They're hardworking mm-hmm. guys. Come from kind of a football rich area, so. We're excited about him too. I don't want him to feel overshadowed, you know.
You brought in a couple of transfers. I know we brought in, I'm trying to remember his name, but from the same college as Casey Jennings went to, our leading receiver.
Stephon Martin, yeah. You know, and I coach our receiver. I'm really excited about Stephon. When we set out to, you know, look at that position, he fits exactly what we were looking for. Now he's got to come in and do all the things, but if he's you know, he came from the same school as Casey Jennings. Right. If he has the kind of impact Casey had on us in a different way, because he's a 6'1" and a half guy that can really run, can beat press coverage, can be a vertical threat. He's exactly what we were looking for. Again, he had a bunch of, you know, MAC school offers but I think his relationship with Casey, his familiarity with us, really helped. He came and visited and just felt at home here. And Stephon's guy I'm really excited about.
That's good, because we need that deep play. Deep play guy, because Casey, you know, great receiver, was our offensive team MVP, I think, this year.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a good mix.
Yeah, the gift of Casey keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Because
probably
without him, we don't get stuff on, too.
Exactly.
So.
And then, you know, another guy, linebacker Mike Tavares, mm-hmm. who was big time out of junior college. I think he was like number 7 outside linebacker in the nation.
Right.
Went to Arkansas for a year.
Right.
And I guess didn't fit in as well there. Now we get him for a year. What type of player is he?
Mike is one of those guys, when you watch him on film, he's got a whoa factor. I mean, just he makes.
I saw some of the plays where he's jumping over. Yeah, he's
back,
jumping over guys,
and taking court, you know, sacking court. But he makes them. He's a very explosive athlete. He can run. He's 220 pounds right now. I think played at about 230 at one point. But he's one of those guys, when he hits you, those people move. Yeah. You know, they move violently, and. So he was one of those kind of above and beyond guys for us, and our defense being a 3-4 defense, he can play outside linebacker. I think we might toy with him a little bit at inside backer, just because
he can move.
That way he's not he's not a one sided defense. He's right. he's a runner, you know, and can make plays all over the field. And you know, he's got good ball skills. You see him intercept passes and run for touchdowns and mm-hmm. played running back in high school. Yeah. You know, so he's just one of those rare athletes that you know. And he's 6'3", and since being here, we've gotten nothing but really good reports on him in terms of his work ethic mm-hmm. and in the weight room. And he'll be a great addition here. Yeah.
All right. Any last things you want to say about the recruiting season?
You know, just that, you know, we feel like, you know, last year's class, the freshman we have right now, I don't know that we could have signed a better class at that time. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about those guys, and a lot of them had big contributions for us this past season. You know, this incoming group is not quite as big in numbers, but again, we feel like they're, you know, from a talent, height, weight, speed, football playing, they're even better than that class, and, you know, time will tell, but you know, we're really excited about the future here. There's a lot of reason for optimism. You know, and what these guys that – the other thing that I don't think was touched on as much as should have is a bunch of these guys, these 23 guys coming in, about two-thirds of them played three or four rounds deep in the playoffs at one point in their career. And that was a big deal for us. Guys that have played big games, have won big games, have been integral parts of their team's success during the course of that stuff. So, it's, you know, when you come from a winning program and you played in big games, that's kind of what's expected. And that's the culture here now. After winning some games here, I think the culture here has changed. You know, maybe my most the moment, and I've been here 6 years, that I'll remember that for the rest of my life was the locker room after the game against Angelo State, our last game of the year that we lost. That in a game we felt like if we played like we did the previous 3 weeks, we would have won. Now, Angelo played good, and they were a pretty good team. They're a lot better than the record indicated, and they deserved to win the game. But I walked in the locker room after the game, and it was dead silent. And it's the first time I've experienced that here at UIW.
Yeah.
You know, it was just our players were upset. They were mad at themselves. They were disappointed. And to me, after I got over the bummed out feeling of losing the game and not playing real well, I took it as a real positive. And so you see that kind of going into this off season, our guys are working real hard, and these 23 guys we got coming in, or you know, some of them are already here. They're now going to see that, and they're going to be in that machine of you know, let's not set limits on what we can accomplish next year. Let's not set expectations. Let's not set limits. And I think that's the mindset our guys have right now.
Exciting.
Yeah, let's go play North Dakota State and beat them up in Fargo.
Spring schedule. When's spring practice start, and when's your spring game?
Spring practice starts March 18th, the date of our spring game is still a little bit up in the air. It's either going to be
April 11th or 12th, right?
Yeah, April 11th or 12th. So we get 15 practices during the spring, and it's a fun time of year. We get to go out and really kind of work on fundamentals, try some new things in the offense and defense, without the pressure of having to get ready to play on Saturday. Okay. So we're looking forward to big things this spring.
All right. Well, thanks, Kyle. And
thanks for having me, Shane.
We appreciate it. It sounds like we have some good things to look forward to in the future.
Yes, sir.
All right. Joining us now is head softball coach Mandy Gamboa. Mandy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And you guys are starting very soon. We were originally supposed to start today, Tuesday. We're recording this on Tuesday. We were supposed to play Texas A&M Kingsville today, but bad weather pushed it back till tomorrow. I guess first talk about, you know, the move from Division II to Division I. The season starts later. Generally, you guys, I think last year you started February 1st, February 2nd,
and
we're about 10 days behind that. Is that kind of nice for you, getting those extra practices in after coming back from Christmas break, or would you rather be playing?
As a coaching standpoint, we'd want to practice more in order to prepare for our games, but from a player's standpoint, they're ready to play. They're ready to go. they're eager. They keep on saying we're tired of playing each other. So that's a time where, you know, games are fun. Practice is hard. You know, sometimes it's a hard practice, and it's constant repetition. But game time, it's where you show what you learn through practice.
How have you guys been dealing with kind of the weather? Obviously, we're not a northern team, but we've had weird weather the last couple of weeks where we have a couple very cold days, then it gets warm, then it gets cold. And how have you guys been able to deal with that, just getting your practices in?
We just try to prepare for it. You know, we're looking at the Weather Channel every day. We plan. There's always an A and B plan for us. If we're going to try to do something, even though if it's minimal, going to the racquetball courts and doing some glove work, to going into hitting cages just to get a couple cuts in, that's what you try to do. You know, and it also helps our kids. They go hard during practice, so it gives them a little break. You know, they're not constantly getting beat up. Mm-hmm. So it's a little good, and it's good and bad. But I think the kids, you know, they're just waiting for the game time. You know, right. So I think it's gonna affect them a little bit, get them upset if we're still waiting, mm-hmm. because of the weather.
You guys obviously had a doubleheader home, and then you're not home again until March 4th. I just checked. You guys are on the road. I guess that's 3 weeks in a row. And you play a bunch of games. You have 5 games this weekend. The next weekend you have another tournament. I guess you'll learn quite a bit about your team over the next few weeks. Kind of what are the, you know, these first 3 weeks, what are kind of your expectations for the team, and what are you looking for them, I guess, to accomplish?
Well, you know, we have Kingsville, and we're going to work on their Division II level. We're going to see where we stand in the Division II level. We have a young team. You know, we have 10 new girls that are coming back. We have upperclassmen, about a handful of upperclassmen.
Right, not too many.
Not too many. So we lost a lot last year. But just traveling, you going away from home, getting out of your comfort zone, I think that's going to show what kind of team we have. And we kind of did it on purpose. We got this Division II. Then we get to play at the Cowtown, which is an NAIA mm-hmm. tournament, and to see where we're at there too. We wanted to get a couple games in before we have to see the real deal, and right. that's New Mexico State and UTEP. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we get all our ducks in a row and practice what we need to practice before we go see Division I play.
Is it one of those things where you're on the road, you hope maybe the team can bond a little better since you'll be with each other the whole time?
No.
But you also, I guess, you don't want them to get sick of each other, being around each other so much. So do you have, like, different things planned when you're on the road where you guys do stuff that's not softball-related?
Unfortunately, it's not where, oh, we get to miss class, and we get to sleep all day. We're on a schedule. You know, we make sure they eat. We're making sure that they are doing homework, getting on bed on time. So it's not like, hey, we have time to do, let's go sightseeing. There's none of that. It's pretty much all work, and then we go home. They do enjoy the bus drive with, you know, the movies, and they get to relax a little bit, less stress. But no, when we're there, it's time to play. I guess I'm not that fun of a coach.
Sounds like it, man. No, my coach, he would take us. I remember we went and visited the Mack truck plant in Philadelphia, which really wasn't that much fun, and it tired us out because we had to walk like 5 miles.
When with us, I came from a coach, New Mexico State coaches were my coaches. We went to Florida, and we had a beach house. The ocean was right behind us. We were actually doing really, really well, and we lost a team that we shouldn't have lost.
We had too much fun.
Too much fun. So
Taking him to Fort Worth and El Paso, which. Yeah.
Hey,
both
that's
fun places.
I'm from El Paso, so I know how fun it can be. You know, I'm a ball of fun. They know that it's time to go, and that's when they catch up on sleep. Sometimes that's when they catch up on homework. That's when they get things done. You know.
Now, this year, it's Brianna Sanchez was basically a 4-year starting pitcher for us, who pitched a lot of innings. I think over 800 innings in her career. How do you replace someone like that you used every weekend?
It's, you know, Bree helped us tremendously. She was a great, it was an amazing pitcher. You know, it's really hard to replace a pitcher like that. But we've got 5 that can equally do what she can do. You know, we got Whitney Waltrip. She's been under Bree for so long. I know she's waiting to explode. And we've got some really good freshmen that you're going to see something out of them. You might see the freshmen, you know, being freshmen, but sometimes their freshman year, that's when they explode. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a JC pitcher, Brooke, with her experience playing at the JC level and a quality JC level, you're going to see some experience. So, yeah, you have Bree, and, you know, we rode Bree a lot of years, but now we have five individuals that will be able to help out with that.
Do you expect, like, on those conference weekends, do you expect to start, like, three different pitchers? Or will it be who's ever pitching the best will get two starts over the weekend?
It just really depends. We might go two combo. We might all these pitchers have a uniqueness to them. You know, Whitney throws the ball really hard. Mm-hmm. And then we've got one of our freshmen has amazing off-speed pitches. So if you put them together, they're a dynamic duo. And then we also have Brooke with her experience. And one freshman has the most amazing spin. And again, if we can control that, who knows what she's possible of doing. So it just really depends on what kind of team, what kind of hitters are going. And, you know, if they have slow hands, we're going to give them Whitney. If they have, you know, pretty good bats, let's get them some off speed and get going. It just really depends on the game plan that day.
Offense, we lost quite a bit from last year. Monica Acuna had a great year last year for us. How do we replace that, or can you replace it? Is it something one of those things where you're going to be learning along the way to see who can really fill those roles?
You know what? Our pitchers, this is something different that we're going to do. Our pitchers are starting to hit. We got a lot of pitchers that are actually pretty good hitters. Our freshmen are coming in the lineup. We have one girl, Alex Alonso. She's, you know, being a freshman, she's did really well in fall. Power hitter lefty. Mm-hmm. And all we need them to be is consistent. Also, what you're going to see different this year is we got more speed this year. And we're going to be stealing bases. We're going to be running a lot. We're going to be a good slap. So it might be the power will get there, but we will be running the bases for them to make it easier. And so we don't have to be hitting home runs all the time.
Right.
I expect it, but we won't be hitting. And, Mo, she was just a dynamite defensive player, mm-hmm. And defensive player and hitter. So, yeah, you're always going to miss that.
You guys have seemed to play good defense generally. How's the team looking, heading into this year?
You know, we're young. We have a lot of freshmen, nine freshmen. A lot of those freshmen are coming into starting roles. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely going to be a growing period. Growth spurts, it's going to hurt sometimes, and then sometimes it's going to be amazing. But I can't imagine what my team's going to look like in the next couple of years once they start meshing as a team. And they get along very well, but just it's going to be a growing period.
Yeah. First year in the Southland Conference. Talk a little about just the level of play of the other teams within the conference.
Well, we didn't have an easy fall. And the reason why we didn't have an easy fall, we played UT, Texas State, UTSA, is to get us prepared. And what we got was they're fast. Everything's so much faster. From them running, making the next play, everything's faster. So that is something where we're going to have to get better at, just knowing that there's another play going on, but everybody's beatable, That's the thing is, Southland Conference, they have some great teams, but I think being in the Lone Star Conference, we were prepared.
There were
some amazing teams. So I think that's just getting our...
You're making new trips this year. So, your players that have been with the team, like Whitney, who's fourth year with the team, you're going to different places now. So everything's going to be new for everybody on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean put a little more pressure on you just to make them feel like, we're fine playing here, even though this place is new, we've never been here before, but we're still fine. It's still just a softball field.
And that's what we try to drill in them. It's still the game. You're here for a reason. Yes, some of them said, well, I signed up for D2. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. We are D1. We can compete. The game doesn't change. The ball doesn't change. The bases don't change. Everything's the same. So it's just pretty much whoever's going to have the biggest heart and going to go out and play. So our girls are not going to fear anybody.
All right, Coach. Well, any last words you want to say before we let you go?
No, just come out to the game. We'd love your support and just be loud.
All right. I think that's Coach Mandy Gamboa.
Okay, joining us now is sophomore point guard on the men's basketball team, Mitch Badillo. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Oh, how's it going? Thanks for having me on here.
It's going well, and you guys have been playing very well, 18-5 right now.
And, you know, I think three of your losses are by 4 points or less. Yeah. So, what's it been like this first year in the Southland Conference?
It's pretty much been, it's pretty tough, but we were kind of prepared because the last year we played in the Lone Star Conference D2, and that's a really tough league. They have a lot of good teams. So we were kind of like battle tested, and we had a lot of the same players back, so we were ready to just take on the competition in the Southland Conference.
What's been the biggest difference, I guess, between the Lone Star and the Southland that you've noticed?
Pretty much would be with the athleticism of the players. I mean, from going D2 to D1, now everybody can jump, everybody can play, everybody's faster, bigger. So it's stuff like that that's really the sticks out to me.
Now, this past week, you guys had a couple close games, and you made both interesting. We were up big on A&M Corpus Christi on Thursday, mm-hmm. and they came all the way back, and we nearly gave it away. Fortunately, we didn't. And then on Saturday against Houston Baptist, you guys were down by 10 in the second half and came back and won. Mm-hmm. I guess talk a little about, first, the Corpus game. You guys played so well for 38 minutes, yeah. basically.
Yeah, we had our first 38 minutes of the game we came out strong, but the last 2 minutes we kind of made a couple mistakes and let them creep back into the game. And I guess that also goes to show the toughness of the Southland Conference. Any team can come back. It's not over till it's over. So we just had to learn from that game and learn how to finish and make less mistakes towards crunch time.
What were your thoughts going on those last 2 minutes? What were you guys thinking? Like, can the clock just run a little faster?
Yeah, I feel like every free throw took forever. Every dead ball was just like stalling out the game. We just wanted the game to be over since we were up by so much. But credit to me and the rest of the guys, we held in there and battled through it.
And then Saturday, Houston Baptist, a team that hasn't won a lot of games this year, mm-hmm. but they were playing well, and their one guard off the bench was hitting everything, and you guys couldn't really get things going. It's probably the first time this year at home that the offense wasn't really clicking very well.
Yeah.
How were you guys able to just basically gut that one out and get the win in overtime?
Yeah, whenever a team like Houston Baptist hasn't won a lot of games, you don't really want to call it a trap game, but because that's what our coach told us at the beginning of the game. It's not a trap game. They're still in the Southland Conference. They're still competing. So they still got something to lose. But coming out early, our shots weren't falling, and we seemed a little less energetic than them on defense and stuff like that. So they got a couple easy buckets, and they were able to capitalize early. And then whenever towards the end of the game, we realized, oh, it's for real. So we kind of turned it on a little bit and came up with the win.
It seemed like at the beginning of the game we had a chance that we really could have put them away right away,
yeah.
if we would have just, you know, done a couple of things maybe different, made a couple shots.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really come out that well either, but then they kind of got settled in, and then, you guys were in for a dogfight the whole way.
Yeah, I think it's just about making shots. If we make our shots, we shoot a lot of threes because we have a lot of shooters on our team. So if we would have made a little bit of our shots, or one person would have made a couple shots, then I think the game would have been way different. But it just shows the resiliency of our team to come back, even when we're not hitting, just to go to the basket and get to the free throw line like Denzel did so well that game.
One of the things you guys do well as well was rebound. Mm-hmm. I think you guys out-rebounded 50 to 35. You had a career-high 9 rebounds, and they weren't just those kinds where they kind of get bounced out and you're the guy standing out there.
Yeah.
You were going inside and getting rebounds. Talk a little about that.
Well, this game, Ian went down, so I knew that it was going to be hard to get a lot of rebounds. So I just had to do my part and rebound as a guard. And all of our other guards, I think, Denzel had a lot, Kyle had a lot, and Sam had a lot of rebounds. So we knew that it was going to be on us. And we played the majority of the minutes, so we needed to snatch up all the rebounds and get all the important loose balls for us to win.
Talk about the offense this year, averaging over 84 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of the playmaker that kind of gets things moving. You guys, I feel like as a team, we pass the ball really well. We move the ball around. We look for the guy who's open. You know, what's it like playing on offense like this?
It's great. I mean, it's a lot of opportunities for me to get a lot of assists. We have a lot of good shooters on our team, Sam, Kyle, then Denzel can score. And then inside we have Ian and Ant, and then Justin and CJ coming off the bench, really. So it's a lot of opportunity for me to get a lot of assists. and it's open court, so it allows me to also drive to the basket and get some easy layups too if they don't help off the shooters.
Now I want to talk about one specific assist you had on Saturday. You got the ball and you threw it length of the court right-handed.
Yeah.
And as far as I can tell, you're left-handed. You shoot lefty. Yeah. You know, it definitely looks like you're left-handed. But you can throw right-handed as well.
Yeah, pretty ambidextrous.
Ambidextrous, huh?
Yes, sir.
That was impressive. That was impressive. You know, finally, I guess, do you find teams maybe take you a little lightly because you're generally the shortest guy on the court and they think you're going to pass first? And a lot of times you fool them and you go all the way to the hoop. You have a nice little scoop shot with your left and your right. How are you able to do that, I guess?
Well, like, that goes again with all the, like, potency of our offense and all the scores on the team. That they have to key in all the shooters, and Denzel's a big part of that. So it takes away kind of the pressure on me, and it allows me to sort of go to the basket and just do what I do best and drive and kick. So we really work well together as a team on that.
Well, good. We have one more home game Thursday night against Abilene Christian, and then you guys finish off the season with three road games. So we wish you good luck, Mitch, and thanks for coming on.
All right, thank you. No problem.